And the Supreme Court has been wrestling today with the appropriate role for religion in government. Justices engaged in a lively give and take with attorneys arguing a case involving prayers at the start of city council meetings in New Yorktown. Joining us now is the Dallas government affairs lawyer Tom Brandt of the Dallas office of Fanning, Harper, Martinson, Brandt, and Kutchin. Tom, thanks for joining us. This is the first time the Supreme Court has taken up this issue in about 30 years since Marsh versus Chambers. Tell us about that case.
Yeah, Marsh versus Chambers back in 1983, the Supreme Court said that legislative prayer is constitutional. That was the general rule. And now it did provide that if there was some improper motive in allowing the legislative prayer, that that could be a means of making it unconstitutional. If, for example, the legislative prayer was of such a proselytizing manner of or a particular sectarian viewpoint was being presented consistently and no other viewpoints were allowed, that left the door open for that. But then we come 30 years later, and the town of Greece, New York, is being sued by two of its residents who claim that the legislative prayer allowed in that city or in that town is unconstitutional. But as far as from what I can tell, it doesn't look like there is any evidence of that improper motive that Marsh talked about. What we have in the town of Greece was a system where anyone could get up and pray and volunteer, and it could be someone from a Catholic, a Protestant, Jewish, no faith at all, or any variety of different faiths that were in the community, and someone could come up and say a few words. So with that kind of a background, it at least seems to me that the Supreme Court would most likely uphold what the town of Greece is doing. I think that there doesn't seem to be much evidence of an improper motive there. So I think that's probably what they'll do, although it's difficult to say. I think that the swing vote will most likely be Anthony Kennedy. He's the one that ends up being the swing vote on these kinds of cases most of the time. So we need to watch what he does. And it's very likely that there'll be some nuance that's added to the law that develops from the Marsh case. But I don't think they will overturn the Marsh decision entirely. I think it might be some refinement about the process that cities will use to have different people come in on a rotating basis, that sort of thing.
We're talking to Dallas attorney Tom Brandt. You know, is it just a coincidence that it just hasn't come up for 30 years, or was there just kind of a timing thing?
You know, it's hard to say. This is an issue that had been put to rest essentially back in 1983.
Right.
And so, yeah, it didn't seem like it was a hotbed of interest or litigation. And I do think that during the intervening years, there have been some societal shifts, definitely. And so perhaps there was the plaintiffs in this case thought the timing might be right for a change in attitude towards legislative prayer. That, however, wouldn't be the thing that would carry the day, what the current attitudes are, because with constitutional law, you look at not only what the Constitution literally says, but you also look at the history. And the Marsh decision was grounded deeply in the history of our country, saying that legislative prayer has been with us from the very first Congress and there's an unbroken history of allowing and having legislative prayer. There's a long history of paying for chaplains in the military, that sort of thing. So it is a recognition historically of in our country to recognize that religion does have an important role to play in our society, and that it should not be cut out or treated as if it were a second-class citizen, that people of faith do have an opportunity to participate in the public discussion and in the public square. So I think the legislative history, the legislative prayer history supports there still being legislative prayer. The exact procedural posture of that or how that's allowed to occur on a in a particular city, could be up for grabs. It could be, there could be some discussion about that in the Supreme Court. But yes.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was curious why it was at the forefront all of a sudden. It just seems kind of interesting, and I'm not sure why, but it's like a lot of interest in this all of a sudden.
Well, I think what happens is this case has been percolating for a while, and other cases as well. The issue really that has everyone interested in, I think, is the larger issue of religion in the public square.
Right.
And so this is just one particular aspect of that larger discussion.
Dominoes falling.
Yes. And so there is the feeling among some, or the belief among some, that the Establishment Clause was meant to cut religion out of government. There's no historical basis for that argument, but that is the argument of some now, that they want to remove any references to religion from government. On the other hand, the Establishment Clause also says you're not supposed to be hostile to religion. And in fact, what it literally did was it just said there wasn't going to be an establishment of a national religion. When it was actually enacted, there were some states that had established religions. So it wouldn't make sense to interpret the Establishment Clause, at least from a historical standpoint, as being some statement against religion. It was nothing like that at all. There was a recognition by the framers of the Constitution that religion was actually a good thing, that people of faith brought something to the table in our society that was very valuable, and that it instilled morals, and a good citizen was one who had those attributes that they could get from a lively faith and lively practice of their faith, whatever that faith may be. So I think what you're seeing is this is a kind of a hot issue at the moment, but because it's part of a larger discussion that we're having in our society about what the legitimate place of religion is, and does religion have a legitimate place at the table in discussions? And of course, I think it does, but yeah, there are those who think it does not and think it should be excised from our public discussion.
Only got about a minute. We're talking to Dallas Attorney Tom Brandt. I guess I'll just ask you, if you had to look in your crystal ball, how does this play out?
I think it will probably I think it will be upheld. I think that one of the reasons is Marsh v. Chambers will not likely be overturned. The lower court that decided against the prayer, you have to understand that the Supreme Court granted cert, and that means they granted the appeal and said, we will take this case. And they usually don't take a case to affirm. They usually take it to overturn. So I think what we'll see is some degree of affirmance of the decision in Marsh, and perhaps some nuance on that decision, some more development of the law so that we have a little bit more clarity about this issue of legislative prayer.
Tom, I appreciate you jumping on for a couple of minutes. Thanks so much. It's interesting.
Sure. Thank you very much.
That's Dallas lawyer Tom Brandt.